Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Monday, the 3rd of May, 2021. Those of you who know me know that I basically consider today Star Wars Day Eve. So there you go. I will be wishing you a very happy Star Wars Day tomorrow. With me today, however, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. Second dog, same as the first. Wait, is that how the song goes?
I think so. Something like that.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Even though it's just you. I guess you mean you and all the dogs. Yes. we're doing a little bit of this week in Apple Legal today. So the first thing we have is a report from the EU about a complaint that Spotify brought against Apple. Basically because Spotify is accusing Apple of anti-competitiveness, basically. And so now there was a preliminary finding, and so now this complaint is going to go forward. So Apple and Spotify and anyone else who's involved in this can now respond. And if the case gets pursued, then the EU can level fines, presumably against Apple, depending what those look like. Spotify launched this complaint 2 years ago, saying that Apple is unfairly restricting rivals to its own music service. And I think this comes down to...
That's in Apple Music in particular.
Yeah, specifically for Apple Music.
So they basically, they want, Spotify wants for Apple to make it so that the Apple Music app can instead stream music from competing services. I just want to make sure that full picture.
Yeah, well, it's
out there.
That and also payments.
The payments too, yes.
The payment system. Spotify's big complaint there is that Apple doesn't tell you that you can go, that you don't have to buy it through the App Store so that Apple gets 30%. They're sort of mad that Apple doesn't tell you can do it with all the money going to Spotify if you just go to Spotify's website. Which is a dust up we've seen with other companies. I think Netflix was doing that for a while. Audible has solved this problem by using credits. And I think it probably also solves the problem on like Android devices as well for Audible, which is you purchase credits and you have to go to Audible in order to purchase those credits. And then you can redeem credits within the app. But since there's no money, then it all works okay. So
that's a rather clever solution.
Yeah, I sort of liked it. And then, like, depending on which plan you have, you get a certain number of credits a month you can use to buy new books and that sort of thing. So,
I call it clever because I think it's important to remember why it is that Apple forces money to go through its own payment clearing service, which is so that you know what's going on and so that you are confident that your money is being securely handled. And of course there are various privacy and other security issues too. So the credit system allows Amazon, i.e. Audible,
yes,
to bypass Apple, but to do so in a way that does not threaten the integrity of the ecosystem per se.
Right.
And so, I mean, it that doesn't feel smarmy or even like a tricky workaround. It's a solid way to handle that and for Apple to still be able to maintain control and over the integrity of the iOS ecosystem. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
And the other interesting thing, the other thing I like about that is that depending on like which membership level you have, you can get more credits. So if you pay, if you pay more for Audible, I think you get more credits each time around. So, anyway,
you're saying more credits for your dollar.
Well,
like a dollar buys.
There's
additional credits depending on your level.
Yeah, like if you have a $10 a month, like I don't remember what the rates are with Audible, but like I think if you have like an entry level plan, then you get like one credit a month, and I think if you get the next one up, you get like two credits a month or something.
Oh, I see.
And then whenever you want to, you can go to Audible and purchase more credits, but the only way to do that is like through Audible, like, you know, audible.com, or maybe through Amazon, you can buy them too.
Yeah, it seems like maybe Spotify could do the same kind of thing and stop mm-hmm. their whining.
Yeah. The EU disagrees and says that this can go forward. So I'm curious, because I agree with you about, I think I agree with you about Spotify saying, well, the music app should also play Spotify and not just Apple's music. Which is a whole separate thing, because the bulk of what I play in the music app anyway is like stuff of my own that I've put there. So this is a separate conversation that I don't care that much about. But one of the things that they are harping on about this is the payment system. And the other thing I wonder is if the other piece of what they're sort of grumpy about is the kind of interaction you get with the S lady on this. Because if you just say play stuff, it will default to Apple Music. Or at least it used to.
Well, the crux of the argument is that they keep calling Apple a gatekeeper.
Uh-huh.
And the frustrating thing to me about that is that is a very, very disingenuous even way to characterize Apple here, because Apple is not just a gatekeeper. They are the infrastructure provider, and companies like Epic, whom we're going to get to, and Spotify mm-hmm. have benefited greatly from the ecosystem that Apple has built. And not only because Apple has, but like all of the trust and integrity, all of the security, all of the way that things just work together, all of that has helped those companies grow, and they don't seem to want to pay for it. And they feel like they shouldn't have to pay for it, and which is the argument that Apple explicitly makes. But I have a lot of intellectual empathy for Apple's position here, and I have almost none for Spotify and Fortnite, though I have said in the past that Apple competing against Spotify does make things a little bit unfair. But you know what, Kelly, you did drop the knowledge about the Audible's credits. I didn't realize that's how Audible is working. That is such a fantastic solution. I have like no empathy at this point for Spotify. zero, none. And they're the biggest streaming service in the world.
Yeah.
Losing money, and they're going to make it up on volume. But I mean, there is just a whole lot of like, gimme, gimme, gimme. You have to do this for me. You have to do this for me. And mm-hmm. that to me doesn't make any sense. Oh, and we don't want to pay for it.
I think that's the sticking point for Spotify on this. And the part that I don't understand is that Spotify's winning. Like, Spotify has way more customers. Spotify has a way larger user base, way more people paying. So I don't get what it is. Like, I don't get why, like, we're winning and we still are mad at this other guy who we think is competing unfairly. That's sort of the part that I don't get.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. I was listening to a story. Can I take us on a slight tangent?
Sure.
Listening to a story on I don't even know what it was, something on NPR that was looking at a book called The Donut Economy. And there's this thing about, and it's a different way of looking at economics. I'm not arguing for the donut hole theory or whatever they call it, but they were talking to the program was talking to the mayor of Amsterdam, and they were talking about all of the various green things that they do. And one of the things that she mentioned was she's apparently the Green Left Party. I think that's her political party in Amsterdam. Okay. And they are in charge, and they're kind of sort of taking the lead on a bunch of environmental things and possibly some economic things too. One of the things she talked about was possibly banning devices that can't be repaired. So mm-hmm. this is the old right to repair right thing to repair. That companies, mm-hmm. the companies that profit from repair like to argue about. And here's the thing about that, to me, that just drives me nuts. It's that iPhones are better because they can't be taken apart. I mean, like the device, when you're using it, when it's in your pocket, when it's in your purse, when it's in your hand, it's a better device. That tight form factor, the way iPhone feels in your hand, these things to me are better than devices that can be pulled apart and necessarily repaired easily. Now, I guess one can want to make one's devices repairable, and I absolutely get the environmental aspect of that, but the solution is to have less good products. The solution that Spotify and Fortnite are asking for is to have iOS be less secure and for the App Store to be less good, to work less well. That's what the things that they want make my experience less good, and that drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Okay. Well, as you said, we have a little bit more to talk about today because we have some news on the Epic front, the Epic v. Apple front. Epic has submitted a statement, like a witness statement. I'm not sure. I didn't see quite where.
They have an expert witness who is arguing that. Ned Barnes is his name. I'm quoting from Bloomberg reporting from Mark Gurman. Mm-hmm. So Ned Barnes is a financial and economics researcher who said he obtained documents, quote unquote, prepared by Apple's corporate financial planning and analysis group and produced from the files of Apple CEO Tim Cook. That's apparently what Ned Barnes has suggested. So he's saying that he has documents that basically come from, you know, internal Apple documents that aren't otherwise released to the public. Mm-hmm. May or may not be true. It probably is true. I would, of course, really wonder how he got that, but whatever. And he argues from those documents that Apple has operating margins of almost 78% in 2019 fiscal 2019, and then over almost 80% for both 2018 and 2019. And this is basically, he's saying that he's looking at these documents and that's how he's interpreting it. And then Apple turns around and says, well, these documents that you're talking about don't include things like expenses. Which I'm thinking maybe you should include expenses when you're looking at operating margins.
Yeah.
And Apple's trying to keep all of the stuff out of the trial anyway, saying that it basically could upset the markets and confuse people. And my question is, what do Apple's margins matter?
Mm-hmm. And my question about this was, it seems like what Epic wants is the opportunity to sell things in Apple's store. And whether you liken this to physical retail, like suppose they had, you know, some physical good that they wanted to sell in Apple retail stores, or you liken it to another company like Walmart or Target or Best Buy or whoever. I have to make the choice whether or not I'm going to put things in your store. And I'm going to assume that you are going to get some percentage of the sale if something I have in your store is purchased by somebody. And that's the part that I don't get. And when we were talking about this off air, which led to us discussing it here, it was basically like you said, you know, what does it matter? Like, I don't, you know, until Walmart makes way more money, I guess it shouldn't matter what the margins look like until it's enough money that somebody gets mad. I mean, because what Epic wants, if this were a physical store, what Epic wants is that anybody who buys an Epic thing goes to a different checkout. You can't go to the regular checkout that everyone else uses. You have to go to the special checkout over here because it gives more money to Epic themselves. I mean, that's basically what they want to do. And that feels weird.
Because again, it's Epic wants all the benefits of the App Store without having to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And And again, one of those benefits in the App Store is the consumer trust that people have when they make those in-app purchases. That consumer trust is based on the fact that all these payments go through Apple. Everything is a lot of their financial data stays with them and their device. Doesn't necessarily get harvested by third parties. And of course, we haven't had any major security or any security breaches that we know of in the App Store. And that consumer confidence is part of how Epic built Fortnite into what it is. I'm not trying to minimize the achievement of making Fortnite a game where people want to spend money. That is a significant achievement. But part of that is the benefits of the iOS ecosystem. That includes the App Store, that includes payments, and Epic wants to be able to use all that without having to pay anything for it. And it seems to me that their argument is Apple's margins are so high, therefore this is not cool. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, I don't get why Apple's margins there should matter. But then, of course, Apple's argument back is, well, your numbers don't even make any sense anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I who knows where the truth is. My guess is that Apple's margins are not that high, but I certainly don't have access to any additional information. I don't have access to even the stuff that Ned Barnes submitted. But I don't know, this seems to me to be much ado about nothing.
And it feels like there's sort of an unspoken half of that sentence, right? Like, we think Apple's margins are too high because Apple's making a lot of money, and we want to be making more money off Apple than we are. You know what I mean?
That's a really fair point.
Like, I feel like the rest of that sentence is really important, right? So, because it feels like Epic is, I mean, when we've talked about it before, this is basically how I've characterized it. You know, a billion-dollar company has started a slap fight with a trillion-dollar company over way less money than a billion or a trillion dollars. That's really where we're at with all of this.
Yeah, and that, Epic's margins are like sky high. Mm-hmm. Or so it seems, because their profits are very intense, and again, more power to them. But it, I mean, like, I don't know. We've got some. If I can just actually paraphrase what you just said, we've got a little tiny pot calling the great big kettle black.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So I'm interested to see where this goes. Partly because there's going to be a bunch of stuff that gets entered into evidence that is the kind of stuff that we likely wouldn't normally see otherwise. So it's always kind of notable to find out what becomes public through cases like this, which is part of why we like to cover them. So as those things change, of course, we will tell you more about them here at MacObserver.com. And when necessary, talk about it on Daily Observations. And if you have something you would like for us to talk about here, you can always let us know at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. And I try not to remind you guys most of the time, but dear listener, if you would drop a rating for us in the podcatcher of your choice, it always helps the show, and I appreciate it. So, Brian, thanks so much for coming by today.
Thanks for having me.
And I would like to thank both Eve and Ichabod for remaining silent for the bulk of the show. So yes, I just jinxed it, I know. So we're going to get out of here real quick. I am your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.